T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's the reality. Ben Simmons is not better. Ben Simmons has not improved enough. And here's the way I feel right now watching this team. If he doesn't show some sort of improvement between now and around the trade deadline, around the All-Star break, the Sixers have to consider trading Ben Simmons for the best of this team, for the best of their championship window. They just can't let him ruin another playoff run by being the same player. They have to consider moving on. And I was all for giving him the max contract, because I think that he's an asset, and he still is an asset. But I'm not going to let him just derail a season because he's not changing the player he is. They have to see improvement in the next 2 or 3 months. Otherwise, I'm putting him on the trade block.
Well, that was Joe Giglio last night. I think anybody is tradable if you're getting a good return or you're getting another franchise star player in return. I don't know if you're going to get that with Ben Simmons, but I do agree with him here that if he doesn't improve his game, if what we saw last year and so far this year is going to be what they're doing, they're not going to the NBA Finals. I mean, they're just not. I mean, they're not ready. If that's the case, if he's not ready to expand his game even a little bit, forget about three-pointers for a second. How about just a 12-footer?
See, that take from Joe last night is a clear example of overhype and over-expectations. It just is. Now, for some reason, we think you can just throw this collection of players together this offseason and somehow they're going to win a title this year. They're going to the NBA Finals somehow. Right?
Well, like, Sixers fans want that.
Yeah, I know we want it, but to expect it, meaning that if you don't get it, you're disappointed. And now he's talking about trading Ben before the trading deadline at the All-Star games. At the All-Star break. And that's what I mean. You got to allow Ben Simmons to continue to develop as a player. He's 23 years old. I'm not telling you he's going to turn into Ray Allen before his career is over with.
I'm telling you he's not going to.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's a safe bet that that's not going to happen. But this team, I don't believe, will be ready to win for an NBA championship for another 2 years, at least another 2 years. I don't think it's a complete team. It's defensive-based, which will keep you in games. But when you get to the playoffs and you need to have somebody who can isolate coming down the stretch of a game and just break the offense and score.
They need a fourth quarter scorer. They need Lou Williams on this team.
And then, Embiid, as much as we love Embiid, much as I love Embiid, okay, when he proves that he can take his game to the next level in the postseason, that's when I'll start talking about championships. He hasn't proven yet that his game goes to the next level in the playoffs.
I agree.
And neither has Ben. So I don't expect all that to come together as well as the roster coming together, and somehow they're going to win 3 rounds of playoffs, 7-game series, and face the Clippers or the Lakers in the NBA Finals. I just don't see that.
Is the criticism of Ben over the top, though?
Yes, it is over the top. Yes.
Is the criticism of Carson Wentz unfair and over the top?
Completely.
Which is more, Ben Simmons or Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz, without a doubt.
And that's the prevailing vote. Jack, did you vote on that too?
Yeah, but I voted for Ben.
So did I. We're the 28%. Vote at Mark Cerise WIP. Let's talk about it. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, in a half hour at 5:15. Let's go back to the phones. We have Mac in Drexel. Mac, what's up? How are you?
Danny Marks, what's good, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Not much. I don't know if you remember me or not. Mac's my middle name. I went to Drexel, but I live in Collegeville. And I don't know if you remember me or not, but I actually met you years ago when you did the draft with Trotter at the Trap Tavern years ago.
I remember being up there. I don't know if I remember specifically, but yeah.
Yeah. You got my mom the Dawkins jersey from the Rally House. You got my mom and dad at Dawkins.
Yes, of course. Yeah. What's up?
Not much, man. I wanted to call. First, I want to just wish you guys continued success. Best of luck to you, man. Very happy to see you doing well out there.
Thank you.
Absolutely. But I did want to call and talk about Wentz. I call because, I mean, the thing with Carson and me, I think he's definitely, A, he's caught some criticism more nationally than locally, which has happened a lot, and B, a lot of his problem, I mean, a lot of the things that we wanted him to improve on, he's done a lot of the things that people have wanted to correct. His turnover is way down, he's not throwing for nearly as many yards or touchdowns, really, but I mean, you want him to win games at the end of the day. He's only had two bad games, the one against the Falcons with the few picks there, and he had the Cowboys game wasn't really great at all. But outside of that, I mean, they should be a, you know, 6-2, you know, 6-3, 7-2 team, rather. So I don't know if it's all fair to just say it's, you know, Carson Wentz needs to play better, per se. It's more the pieces around him are just awful. I mean, there's not a receiving core worse that's out there I can think of that you have, you know.
Interesting. I don't. I mean, maybe without the tight ends, I don't know. I don't. You know. I mean, normally with teams have bad wide receivers or bad teams, right? For the most part.
Yeah, I mean, not really. For the most part.
I mean, the Cleveland Browns are bad. I'd take the Cleveland Browns receiving core.
No, but Odell.
But I guess my point, Mac. Appreciate it, man. Good to see you. Yeah. No. And
I mean, Atlanta's bad. I like to have their receiving core.
Okay, but what bad wide receiving core is on a good team, though? I guess is my question. San Francisco didn't have a great wide receiving core. Now, Emmanuel Sanders helps them, but they were undefeated before they got him.
The Patriots.
Yeah, they got Edelman. But they've been bringing receivers in. They gave up a second rounder for Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
They drafted Nikhil Harry first round pick. He's not playing at all. Yeah, but like the Dolphins have like Devontae Parker, Albert Wilson, and Jakeem Grant.
Who'd you rather
have this receiving core?
You would?
Yeah, that receiving core is terrible. It's the Dolphins.
This receiving core is terrible. What are you talking
Alshon
about?
Jeffrey. This is Devontae Parker, Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant.
Who would you rather have, Ike? No, because
the Eagles secondary. I mean, the Eagles are receivers.
I mean,
Devontae Parker's about to go off because Preston Williams just got injured, so he's starting in my league this week.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was personal.
Yeah, well, that's
a fantasy play.
No, but I mean, we'll be talking about
speaking of your fantasy team, AJ Green's out indefinitely. So.
Yeah, that's another one.
You're just like Howie.
Man, Ike.
I did.
Draft receivers.
I missed on all of them, damn near.
Some heavy hitters, too. Antonio Brown.
Yeah. T.Y. Hilton is injured. AJ Green don't want to play. Golden Tate was suspended to start the season.
Mm.
Yeah. It's amazing how I'm still in first place.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, you know, it seems like you're coming back down to earth. You peaked too early, Ike. Meanwhile, my team.
Starting to come?
No, I got lucky with some wins.
it happens.
Yeah, but teams know better. Let's go to Jason in Boothwin. Jason, how are you?
How you doing, guys?
All right.
What's up, Jason?
I just wanted to call. Listen, I was having this conversation with my cousins the other day, man. Carson Wentz is catching way too much heat.
Hmm. From who?
John, how have you not been listening to the radio the past week?
From who?
Man.
From who? When?
Your station callers all week.
Yeah, all right, naming callers.
Well, I mean, what are we talking about? Five callers this week called in and said, I want Nick Foles and not Carson Wentz, and
Ike,
that means
back me
he's
up
getting
here,
criticized?
Man. Back me up here, Ike.
No, I'm with you, Jason, all the way, man. He knows that I'm not allowed to talk when you guys call, though.
Listen, John, I agree with your point.
He can only take one of us at a time.
What's that, Jason?
I believe we are a playoff team. I really do. Our receiving core obviously isn't great, but I still think we have a shot at it. And then, Ike, I do agree with you. I think Wentz is catching way too much heat this year. It's just they expect him to do too much. I mean, you have two plays that would decide between 5-4 and 7-2. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You got that play in Atlanta. You got the play in Detroit. I mean, what more do you want him to do? I mean, he can't catch the ball. He can't block. He can't tackle. I mean,
poor Carson.
What's his fan base more?
Well, what I would think is legitimate criticism is maybe earlier in games accuracy hasn't been exactly accurate this year. I think that could improve, right? I mean, overall is Carson Wentz the reason why they're 5-4? I mean, yeah. Otherwise, they might be 4-5, right? I mean, it just depends on how you look at it. But yeah, I mean, if he's got a better surrounding cast, they're better than 5-4 right now. If Deshaun Jackson never gets hurt, they're good.
If they just do what they're being paid to do, they're better than 5-4. They don't have to be spectacular. Nobody's asked Alshon or Nelson to be a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Just catch them all, make plays, do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, if people want to know the difference, that's what was happening in 2017. These guys were actually making the plays.
They were.
And it's not just about Nick coming in late. Ertz had 8 touchdowns. Nelson had 8 receiving touchdowns. Alshon had 8 receiving touchdowns. A lot of that stuff happened prior to Nick coming in. So I don't only hear the stuff about the chemistry and this and that and the other. And
there was Wentz, great chemistry. In
Wentz can't throw the ball to him and all that. I don't need to hear all of that stuff because it's not true. It worked in 2017. No, the difference is the players aren't playing as well as they did that year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real difference.
Let's go to Malik in West Philadelphia. Hi, Malik.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
What's up, Malik?
Listen, first and foremost, I couldn't have said it any better. It's about the players not playing the way they was in 17. Follow me. Real quick. Johnny, don't cut me off. This is the thing. In 17, when, you know, before we got a Super Bowl, you had this number two pick that Howie went and got that got us basically to the pinnacle that we was at 11-2 before Nick even came in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Carson Wentz doing, you know what I'm saying, what he was doing at 17, don't forget, Alshon Jeffrey came over here to play with Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
They was out, you know what I'm saying, to you, catching football together with all of the receivers in the offseason, going into that year. The players got to step up. You can't tell me that everybody don't like Alshon Jeffrey now because he's going through a little period where in 17, what did you have? He helped turn this around. This is an established receiver right here. That's mm-hmm. just going through some struggles. You got to understand that he's going to bounce back. And Carson Wentz, he gets too much unwarranted criticism. Nick Foles did what he was supposed to do, which was come in and be a backup and win games.
That was not what he was supposed to do, Malik. That was not what he was supposed to do. It doesn't even factor into this argument. Nick Foles is supposed to come in and outduel Tom Brady in the Super Bowl as a backup? Come on, man.
Hear me out. He was the backup to who? Carson Wentz. Am I correct?
Yes.
He came in and he won football games. That's what we needed him to do. Don't forget that this is the same situation where we're going into the playoffs. We're playing the Raiders. We're playing who was it? Dallas down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Nick wasn't playing that well.
Okay, so what's your overall point? What are you trying to say here?
My overall point is that as fans, everything that the fans are talking about as far as, you know what I'm saying to you, Carson Wentz not being the guy, things like that, is unwarranted. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Malik, here's what I'm saying. We've probably taken 15 calls today talking about people saying that. We've taken one caller that actually said it. There was one caller.
Well, nobody wants to call up today.
One caller called in and said that they should have never gotten rid of Foles or whatever Bob in Westchester had said. He was critical of Carson Wentz. We've had 15 callers of people that were like, the criticism's unwarranted. People talk more about Carson Wentz being criticized than the actual criticism itself.
What you do is forget what Mondays are like after a loss. That's what you do. What you're doing is riding this wave with two wins. Of course you are. Because I know what it's like after they lost to Atlanta. I know what it was like after they lost to Detroit. You and I were arguing about that. And Wentz could do more. Nope. And he had to find a way to win the game.
Nope, not my take once this year.
Oh yeah,
it was not. It was not. Yeah. Go back in the locker. It was not
doing those things on Mondays after a loss. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's easy to sit here now after two straight wins on a bye week and say the guy doesn't get criticized.
No, it's not.
I don't know. It's two straight wins
after the Atlanta game where you have drops. I mean, the wide receivers had obvious drops.
No, we know that it was obvious. That doesn't mean.
What I'm saying is the day after, I don't remember heavy Wentz criticism. I mean, did you
selective memory?
Well, I mean, my memory's kind of shot as it is, but I don't remember that.
So for those of us, those of us in the LTBB community, our ears are sensitive to these things. So you can't tell me that it wasn't criticism after the Atlanta game. Basically, people saying, why didn't Doug leave in Josh McCown? He had the offense humming. Come on, man. Are you going to act like these conversations didn't happen?
Yes, but they're few and far between.
No, they weren't few. After a loss?
Ike.
After a loss, almost every – dude, after a loss, I'm the one who's sitting there taking all the bullets because I'm the one defending the guy. Every caller is calling up ripping him.
When?
After a loss.
Not this year. Not every caller is calling him after a loss and ripping him this year.
Okay, you want to be literal now. Come on, man. You know I don't mean every freaking caller. The majority of the callers, just like after any loss, the tone of the conversations are typically negative. They're negative. And after that Atlanta game, all I heard was Wentz is still inaccurate. That's a game he's got to win. He overthrew this guy. He overthrew that guy. I don't want to hear that his receivers got hurt before the game and they didn't play and Doug had to change the game plan. Carson Wentz has to hit Zach Ertz on this pass or he has to hit Nelson Aguilar on that pass. Like, we had to fight through numbers, and I'm pulling up PFF stats every week because – to the naked eye, some of you are saying, like, look at this stat. You're telling me that's an elite quarterback? Whereas Pro Football Focus has the guy ranked as the top quarterback, a number two quarterback in the league. Like, those are the things we had to go to. Now, you don't have to do that if he's being praised or if he's not being criticized. But you go to that when you're trying to prove that the guy is playing well enough to win and that the criticism isn't warranted. It happens every week. You know this.
Criticism has been mild at best this year towards Carson Wentz, in my opinion.
We see it differently.
In my opinion. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. The playmaker, Michael Irvin. All this stuff we're talking about right now, Ike, we'll talk to Michael Irvin about.
I mean, we spend half the offseason listening to everybody, or not everybody, but you and Elliot Santillagiglio Parks and Joe. Take half the quarterbacks in this league over Wentz. That's all I heard all offseason. I'll take Baker over Wentz. I'll take Jared Goff over Wentz. I'll take Dak over Wentz. Like, that's all you guys do all offseason.
I know. I get lumped in with everything. You're right.
Were you not taking Dak over Wentz?
No, Baker Mayfield? But no, I did not take Baker Mayfield over
Jared
Wentz.
Goff. I mean, everybody.
Last year during the season, I think I took him over. Max and Barnegat. Max, how are you?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
Basically, I called in like 2 weeks ago when you were trying to compare Jacoby Brissett and how he was on the same level as Wentz.
Yeah, there's another one.
And it's funny now after two wins, you know, that goes away. But basically, I just want to go back to how this all the slow starts and the failures, I think, are attributed to game preparation and how, you know, what has Mike Rowe done, you know, to prepare Carson Wentz week in and week out?
It's the first offensive coordinator blame game of the day, but I appreciate that, Max. I mean, is Mike Rowe helping? I don't think he's helping at all.
Fact,
I think he stinks.
Though.
Well, it's not a fact. Hang on a second. It's not a fact. It's an opinion. You don't know that. Do we think that it is? I don't think Mike Rowe's helping.
Two seasons, and how many slow starts? Never, besides last week. When have you ever seen the offense explode, you know, first half more than two touchdowns?
So Mike Rowe did a good job last week, or that was Carson Wentz that did a good job?
Overall, we ran the ball, which is a plus, but you look at the whole season.
Mike Rowe did a good job last week, you're saying?
No, I'm not saying Mike Rowe did a good job.
Okay, but hang on a second. But you said he did a bad job all those other weeks. So if they did well last week coming out of the gate, then he should get some credit if you're going to criticize him for the other weeks, right?
But we take the season as a whole, not game by game.
That's the fact.
How many times have we gotten out to a slow start, and it's always, oh, you know, we need to do this better, we need to do that better.
Slow starts are definitely a problem. I agree with you, but I also include the quarterback as well as the head coach, the offense coordinator. Let's just say the whole team, the whole offense, right? Quarterback's a part of that, right? I mean, you know, Do I think Mike Rowe's going to be here next year? I don't know. Would I like to see another offensive coordinator come in here? Yeah, probably. I don't know. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studio. I think I just did that. Dot Westmont. Dot, how are you?
Yo, what's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
Hi, Dot.
What up, Dot?
How are you?
I'm good now. I'm on my way home from work. But listen, I was sitting here listening to y'all talk, and I got a few statements, but I also have two questions for y'all, and I'm going to get off after that so I can hear what you got to say.
All right.
Hey, sure. as far as the criticism, I think Wentz get a lot of criticism after a loss. And I've been trying to say that for a couple weeks now. Every time we lose, that's when everybody gangs down on him. But when we win, they say he got to play better. But if you take what he did this year and just take away all the receivers, just look at what he could have had, maybe 7-2. I mean, maybe 7-2, probably 6-3 worse.
At worst, 6-3.
We're not having this conversation. You're going to say we're not having this conversation if we 7-2 or 6-3. We're really not having this conversation because they'd be winning because of Carson Wentz instead of losing because of the receivers, but it's making it look like it's Carson Wentz's fault. That's all I wanted to say on that. And Ben Simmons, the criticism shouldn't go to him. It should be the coach, because the coach should be having him shoot the ball. Like, he really had to get on his behind about shooting the ball, period. I mean, if you take some of the visuals from the games that this past week, they're leaving him wide open. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, as an NBA player, it's just unbelievable. And the question I have is, do you think it's the offensive coordinator for the Eagles? And do you think Ben Simmons really an all-star on the East Coast of the league? Because if he's on the West, is he an all-star?
Oh, hell no.
Or is he close to it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, he's not an all-star in the Western Conference. No. No way. There's way too many guards out there to have to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wouldn't be an all-star in the Western Conference. Hell, it took Dame Lillard 3 or 4 years before he could get in there as an all-star because of the Steph Currys and the Russell Westbrooks and the James
Harden.
Gotta
wait your turn a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's that guard in the West is difficult to get through. I can't necessarily blame Brett Brown a ton. Because Brett Brown, he has to walk a tightrope, right? How much to push versus how much to support. Because if you start going at these guys like you're in college, then they're going to tune you out.
Yeah,
then what?
And then you're
what
gone.
Do you have?
And then you're
yeah.
gone. No, you know, you're exactly. right. It's a fine line because he's got to keep the guys on his side.
Yes.
At the same time, trying to get the most out of his players. He can't be a hard ass to Joel Embiid when he's doing Twitter and press
especially
conference and all
publicly.
That stuff. No.
Certainly not publicly. He
no.
can't do it.
You know
it.
What he tries to do? He tries to be the father figure behind the scenes mm-hmm. and just try to guide him in the right direction.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what he tries to do. See, here's when if they don't advance to the Eastern Conference Finals or they don't make the NBA Finals this year, right? And mm-hmm. Joel Embiid's erratic and Ben Simmons isn't taking jump shots and it's hurting them in the playoffs. That's where you're going to hear maybe it's time to bring in a different voice that maybe isn't going to be so soothing to Ben Simmons.
Right.
Right. Like when Phil Jackson came in to Los Angeles, he came in with the talent. It's just the guys weren't doing what they were supposed to do, and he lit a fire under their butt.
Yep.
Right? So you may need not Phil Jackson, but you may need somebody else to come in here and no, isn't it nice to
Ben? It's difficult, man. That league is a players' league. And Ben's already got his contract. Joel's already got his contract. Like, what are you going to tell him? And you got to play him. So the last thing you want is to be at war with your players.
Right. When did that last happen? Toronto, where where the coach
benched DeMar DeRozan.
Right. And he was gone.
He was gone.
They're the number one seed. Now they lost in the playoffs, but you know.
Yeah, it's hard to do in the NBA, man. It is. It's unfortunate for Brett because he's at the mercy of them doing the right things.
Not really his style anyway, Brett. You know what I mean? It's never been. He's never been a hard ass.
No.
You know, I'm sure sometimes he'd like to be a little bit more.
Yeah. The thing with Ben, man, Ben.
Like, if you ask Brett about Ben's shooting, he would say something like, you know, we try to have conversations about Ben and the need to shoot. Because he knows, everybody knows he needs
Brett,
to shoot.
Yeah, Brett knows the same thing
everybody
we know.
Knows it. It's just getting him to do it.
Yes.
God, it's annoying. So Hank wants in the community. Do you have a questionnaire or a... So I know for the Scientologists, there's a whole process you have to go through. I don't know if it's similar for LTBB. Hank in Bordentown. Hi, Hank.
Hey, what's going on? Let me take your speakerphone.
Sure, Hank. How are
what's
you,
What's up, Hank?
Hey, you know what? Today, I got to say, I'm not calling to bash you, Johnny Marks. I'm not. You know, I've seen you get fired up when people call and they stick up for the Bronco. But today, I seen the light. I seen the light, Ike, and I gotta jump on it. You know what? Let that Bronco buck, boy. Because every time, let me tell you something. Last year, 2017, when the boy played lights out, oh, my goodness, nationally, Carson Wentz this, Carson he the MVP, all the fans and this and that. The boy get hurt because he's playing hard, trying to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
The boy give it everything he got, and he trying to win the game. Nick Foles come in and do what he get paid to do. He do his job. Now, he played better than anybody thought. The boy, Nick Foles been on our team for years, and ain't nobody praised Foles like that until he played that game and won us that big thing. That
Super Bowl, baby. Yes, sir.
nobody praised him like that. Nick Foles, when they let him go, people wasn't jumping off buildings looking for Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, he the best thing that happened. Now, I love the man for it, but now, today, it's too many people jumping on the Bronco. Now, let me tell you, Johnny Marks, I was sitting there listening. You said you ain't know who's calling in. Mm-hmm. Man, it's happening all over. It's like a plague. People sitting there calling in and acting like Wentz is the problem. How Wentz stats get better since 2017, and then the receiver, Alshon, he got more drops now than he did back then, but it's Wentz's fault?
No, we had one caller today. And by the way, I haven't levied one piece of criticism from Carson Wentz today, not one. Not one. And we had one caller call in that was saying, was criticizing Carson. One.
And that's today, and that's okay. On this show. But just listen up, and I guarantee you it's going to happen. It's going to happen, but I'm going to continue to watch.
It's going to happen at 6 listen. O'clock.
I'm telling you. And I'm going to continue listening, but hey, I got to say it just like this. LTBB, baby. Peace out.
Love it, Hank.
All right, there he is.
He sounds like a community member. Fill out your application. I'll get it to Jordan Matthews. We'll get everything processed, and we'll look over it and make sure. We got to go through your tweets, make sure there hadn't been any criticisms of the Bronco in there.
Oh, do you anyway, really?
Yeah, you better scrub all your tweets out there.
You doing an online
search?
Yeah,
exactly. Scrub all your tweets, and we'll get you in, man. We'll get your card out to you, and love it.
This is the best. We can do a whole show about criticizing Wentz without Wentz actually once being criticized. It's an amazing thing.
There's been one caller today.
I know, and I haven't even said anything bad about him.
Everyone's ripping on Carson again.
Oh, man, it's the poor guy.
Man. This guy never gets a fair shake.
Jamal and Cherry Hill. Jamal, how are you, buddy? Right? What's up, Jamal?
What's up, guys?
No, man.
What's up, guys?
What's up, yeah.
What's up, Ike? Marks. Anyway, so I'm not here to, like, I've been hearing a lot of stuff. So, basically, I just don't want people to complain about the contract. Mostly because we gave freaking Byron Maxwell, what, $68 million? I don't want to hear any crap about the contract, guys.
Whose contract?
Byron Maxwell.
Whose contract?
Was it 68 or 63?
No, you're right. Carson, yeah, it was 60-something. Yeah, Carson, it was 60-something.
Mark, listen to me, Mark, before you go on a tangent.
No, but who's talking about Carson's contract?
Listen, buddy, I drive a cab, buddy. I listen to this station all day long from 9 a.m. until I leave at 10 p.m. I'm not making this up, buddy. I'm telling you. I hear people today, at least four callers complaining about his contract. Oh, he's making $100 million. So what? That's cheap. That's cheap.
Look that is cheap, actually,
people,
yeah.
Less than him are getting paid, okay? And here's my thing, Mark. This is my problem I got with you, buddy. Yes. I'm not telling you you don't got to join our team. You don't got to be down with the LTBB, baby. We don't want no latecomers, okay? You stay over there, okay? And when right. And when everything's all fine and dandy, you just remember that we didn't let you in the party, okay?
That's right,
Maul. Oh, believe me, I know.
Right.
I know.
But listen, though, simply put, so I'm old school, right? I believe in experience, right? So, Ike, you played with McNabb, right?
Yep.
I would say you played against Brady.
Yep.
Against Warner, right?
Yep.
Against Roethlisberger, right?
So yep.
Two Hall of Famers and two potential Hall of Famers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why do I have to doubt you when you tell me?
Oh, damn, you're...
That was a great point he made on the way out.
Yeah, you're...
But this is what I'm telling you, Mark.
No, you broke up. I didn't hear it. You broke up right when... No, you did. Right when
no,
you
no,
said,
honestly, you did.
You said, sorry, Ike, I don't need to question you or something about something.
Yeah, so right, if Ike played these years and he played against these Hall of Famers, and these future Hall of Famers, right?
Right.
And he tells me, from his eye test, from his experience, that he thinks Carson Wentz is closer to being those guys than being Matt Schaub, why do I have to doubt him? I'm just saying.
It's a great point. There, Jamal.
I'm not sure when he said that, but all of you people are delusional. So I don't know if a hit of acid is necessary to join the club, but it sure sounds like it is.
It's
unbelievable. You guys are literally hallucinating with
Yes,
there's Jack, there's hallucinations that have been going on all show. We've literally been able to have an entire show about Wentz criticism without any Wentz criticism. We've done it. It's been great, and I've really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Guided Door and Window, 20% off all windows and doors. No money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Window today, 877-GO-GUIDA, or visit GoGUIDA.com. Michael Irvin scheduled to join us in 4 minutes. Just don't go anywhere.
Oh, man.
Especially you, don't go anywhere.
So excited to be a part of something special.
That's good.
The LTBB community, man.
Yeah, but you're not a part. You're not even a part of it, right?
Of course I am.
You know who Jim Jones is?
No. Jim Jones the rapper?
Nah. He had this Kool-Aid. He had followers similar to you, and he had this Kool-Aid, and they drank it.
Right.
Let's go to
I don't have followers. We're together. No, we're together. We're together.
Let's go to Mark and Ali.
We just provide the platform.
Mark and Ali, what's up, Marky?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
What's up, Mark?
I would say that, you know, the time for this no Carson Wentz criticism to be has come to an end.
Yes.
Because, you know, you must be a card-carrying member of the Carson Wentz fan club.
How'd you guess that?
Yeah, you definitely are. But I would say that the Eagles receivers, they may not be the greatest receivers in the world, but you can't say drop pass without saying overthrown pass or pass behind the back or pass somehow off target. They go together.
I don't really see behind the back, but the overthrow, yeah, I'm with you there. That happens once a game.
From the side to side, over the top. I mean, there's so many throws where he's left points on the field because of missed throws.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
I could go back and watch the film with you and show you all of them. And there are times when he doesn't throw the receivers that he should have thrown to. That, you know, and it comes down to this. He's not confident he can make an accurate throw. So when he's, you know, receivers will tell you, if they got a half a step on somebody, they're open. But Carson Wentz, he doesn't feel confident unless somebody's wide open.
Which one of these receivers that had a half a step on somebody?
Go to the games and watch them. You'll see receivers open all the time. Carson Wentz doesn't throw to them. It just doesn't. You can even see it on TV. But it's just the way he is. It's just that he doesn't have the ability to put it in a position where players can make a play on the ball and nobody else. The defender can't make it. Only the receiver can make a play. He puts the ball out there when receivers are open. And, you know, that's just the kind of guy he is. And, you know, I think after a while, you're going to lose the connection with your receivers when they know they're executing their route and the ball doesn't get thrown to them or the ball gets thrown off target to them. You're going to lose the receivers. And that's what's happening.
He threw the ball 8 times to Alshon last week. He overthrew him once. Alshon dropped 3. He caught 4.
Alshon has 3 drop balls on the whole year. But
no, I just saw him drop 3 balls last week.
He had 3 drops.
Those are the only 3 he dropped all year.
Now, see, Mark, that's when you – I don't have to look it up. I watch every game.
That's as of today. Aguilar, 3 drops all year. But they were big drops.
But
you would think the guy has a problem dropping balls. That's what the hype is when you listen to the radio. You would think these receivers are awful.
You said Nelson dropped 3 balls in Detroit, in the Detroit game, including one where he actually caught it, start running, and then dropped it.
All I know is I'm looking at the stats that are credited on the
football. But here's the thing, though, Mark. Here's the thing. Those are subjective. Right? Drop balls. Did it hit his hands? Right, those are subjective.
Like errors.
All I know is that the Eagles' receiving core, and that includes tight ends, running backs as well, have been at the top of the NFL this year and drop balls, whether they're leading, top 2, top 3, top 4, whatever. That's where they've been.
No, they stink.
That's where they've been. So much to the point that Max Kellerman makes a ridiculous statement that the receivers don't like Carson, so they're dropping balls on purpose. So they're dropping balls on purpose because the receivers don't like the quarterback. Come on, man.
Back to the phones. DeMarco in Philly. DeMarco, how are you?
Yeah, what's going on, gentlemen? It's been a minute.
What's up, Dave?
All right, look, Ike, I'm with you. Marks, I'm not going to bash you, not today, because I just think the wrong thing is being said. Like when you said you need Carson to do more, you need him to do more. The thing is, man, is just he just got to get better with his awareness. His field awareness is the problem. He need to read the field like a Peyton Manning, like all those great quarterbacks. They read the field. Peyton Manning, what did he do? Every time somebody blitzed, he killed them with it, right? If Carson learned how to get better with his awareness, there won't be no talk about this. Then you got to let the Bronco buck. So stop with the he got to do better, he got to do more. You know, he just got to – he need time to get better with his awareness. His field awareness is shaky because he read the field, he get blitzed, he gets sacked when he need to throw the ball away.
And he's staring down receivers.
He's staring down Ertz, and they almost picking the ball off. It's his awareness,
He's still a developing player, is what you're saying.
All these callers – need to stop with the his accuracy. He's throwing it high. He's throwing it low. No, his awareness. His awareness, people. Awareness got to get better. He get better with his awareness. His screen. You know how on the old man when they showed the vision and Tom Brady and them had those big giant visions that went across the whole field.
Mm-hmm.
You know he needs to build that and get a big vision. His awareness got to get better, guys.
DeMarco, it's a good point, man.
That's a good point.
Appreciate it.
I can go with that. Field awareness. Get out there, get a little jumpy.
Mm-hmm. He's a little jumpy.
And he almost cuts the field off in half because if you got certain receivers on one side and he only trusts these receivers, he's basically cutting the field in half to look at the ones he trusts.
Joining us right now is a Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Michael Irvin. Insider Calls brought to you by the midsize Metches from Mercedes-Benz, the playmaker, Michael Irvin. Michael, it's John Marks and former Eagle Ike Reese. How are you?
For say about receivers, that means it was my time to step in the conversation.
Michael, we can't stop talking about receivers here. Based on our receivers here, they're struggling this year.
Yeah, man. That's why I always talk about diversity of receivers. You know, unless you have a certain system, you know, like the Patriots where you need small, and you play inside-out game, you need diversity of receivers. And you had that in droves, which was scared the hell out of him when you had it perfectly fit when you had Alshon and you have Deshaun Jackson, even more so than any time that you've had that downfield guy. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Jackson, he's a different kind of beast. I don't care. I tell people all the time, you can try to make a track guy a wide receiver. When you have guys, you really turn the track guys into wide receivers. That's why they don't really have great hands. But Deshaun Jackson is a receiver with track guy speed.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a huge difference. You know, he can play both ways. So not having him is huge. Now, I said it a couple weeks ago when I thought the Dallas Cowboys were going to be without Amari Cooper. I said, I understand everybody wants the NFL to be the measuring line for the world, the moral compass. I said, but right now, if Amari Cooper is out, Dallas can kick the tires on Antonio Brown. And then now I hear people saying the same thing about Philadelphia because the reality is your job is to try to win football games, and that's a boot not have if you don't have Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, Mike, AB may have burnt that opportunity to the ground today when he got back on social media today, so I don't even know.
I saw it, dog. My heart just beat down. I was like, come on, man. What are you talking about now? Oh, I'm done with football. I'm done with the NFL. Dude, listen, you don't get done with the NFL. The NFL gets done with you. You don't walk away. It's like I was negotiating with Jalen one time. This was before you really had free agency. And I'm in there. I'm trying to get I want to be the highest paid. And first time I negotiated with Jerry, I wanted you to be the highest paid. He said, Michael, Jerry Rice is the highest paid. He said, and I had just won a receiver of the year. So with Jerry Rice, won a Super Bowl. You got to go get some Super Bowls. Then I went and got the Super Bowl, and Tim Brown was the highest. And he said, Michael, Tim Brown is the highest. I'm going to put you right above Tim Brown. I said, oh, no, you're not. You're going to put me way above Tim Brown because Tim Brown ain't got them Super Bowls. I got Super Bowls now. You see, now what it was, though, Jerry said to me after a while, he said, Michael, we just got to sit here and do we come to a number? Because I'm going to tell you the truth. It's either you play football or you don't. This kind of money, they don't pay you flipping burgers at McDonald's. So, you know, there's no place else to go to make this kind of money for doing something you love. And Antonio Brown has done, I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how big your bag is, you put a hole in the bottom of that bag and there's no money going in the hole in the top of that bag, you too will be on the show called Broke real soon. Mm. So get your butt together. You do need this NFL. And it's what defines him.
is what has made him. It's given him a chance at a life that he climbed out of the hellhole of in Miami. And I just don't understand. I do understand what he's doing, why he's doing it. I don't understand what he's doing, but I understand why he's doing it. And that's the sad thing.
Yeah. From a receiver standpoint, Mike, we're looking at our guys, right? Alshon and Nelson Agholor here. And I think you're a perfect person to ask. Obviously, you're a Hall of Fame wide receiver. But you were a guy that didn't necessarily rely on blazing speed and superior athleticism. But and still, you were one of the best in the game at that time, and you turned into a champion and a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Talk to me about losing confidence and then regaining your confidence, because we kind of feel like our receivers may be dealing with a little bit of a confidence issue right now, and we want to know whether or not, how do they get that back with Carson?
Hardest thing in the world, too, dog. I'm telling you, if that is so true and so reality, if that's the reality, it's one of the hardest things in the world. I liken it sometimes to people. I say it's like having money and losing it and trying to get it back again. It's a hard thing. You're dealing with the pain of the loss as you're trying to regain it. I went through it one time in my career. It was actually my rookie year because I had talked so much coming in. So when I got drafted, I said, I'd catch a beater in the dark. And my first opening press conference, I told somebody, I said, shoot a BB gun. I'd catch a beater in the dark. Talking all that noise. I got in the training camp. I dropped every damn thing they threw me. Every damn thing. I was like, oh, my God. Dog, this is too short. I went to get my eyes checked. I went to get my hands checked. I got everything checked, and I had to face up in the mirror and say, hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with none of that. This is in your mind. I was talking about, is it too windy out here in Thousand Oaks? And when it gets in your mind, it's the most powerful tool you have is your mind, and getting it back out of your mind, the only thing that gets it back out is success. Success. And if they feel that's what's happening, then it's up to Coach Peterson to do things to make sure they have success. I don't care if you have to throw 5 smoke routes in the beginning of a game. Let's get the ball in their hands, get them moving up the field with the ball, get them a feeling of success, and let that start breeding more and more success, and more confidence will come with it. But that's a hard turnaround, to make turnaround in the middle of a season.
Hey, Mike, I mean, obviously we watch every game and we analyze it to every second and we talk about it nonstop. It seems to us that there's a chemistry issue with the wide receivers and the quarterback. We don't know if it's a chemistry issue with the wide receivers and the quarterback or the quarterback and the wide receivers, but is that something that you've dealt with before as far as chemistry, and is that something you see when you watch the Eagles?
I don't think there's a chemistry problem between Alshon and Carson Wentz. Yeah, I don't think that. I think, you know, in the game that I saw, the game I watched, I did that Green Bay game. I watched them all, but I did that Green Bay game. There were a few plays in there that made me, that reminded me of my days with Troy. There was one play where I saw him going across the middle, and he just felt like he needed to break back out. He broke back out, and Carson Wentz hit him and all that. I said, okay, that shows chemistry. Because I'm telling you, I promise you, you can feel when your quarterback, when you have real chemistry, you feel when your quarterback is in trouble. And I saw that within a game in Philadelphia. So I know the chemistry is there. Which brings it back to what you guys were just talking about, is the confidence. I don't think there's a chemistry issue. I don't know if there's a confidence issue, but what I saw on the football field, what I've seen when I watch these guys play, I don't think a chemistry issue is the problem.
Mm. Mike, when you watch this team right now, it seems like the Eagles have been at their best recently with Deshaun out running the football. They have 2 really good running backs. The offensive line's blocking really well. I guess what the question now is, can that be sustained? 7 games left. Can you run your way to the playoffs if you're the Eagles?
In this league, that's the whole issue, man. In this league, when we're such a copycat league and everybody's trying to do the next Tom McVay and throwing all these exotic passing things, all in passing routes and all route tree in the game, but everything, you forget about the main thing, and the main thing is the running game. It sets up why. when you can get more yards with one 15-yard throw than you can with one handoff. There are more possibilities of a mistake and more possibilities of a turnover in a 15 or 20-yard pass than there is in a run. If we're running, everybody's like, I just turn around and hand the ball off. With a 15-yard pass, man, I can drop back, get hit, and I can lose the fumble on the snap. I can drop back, get ready to pass, get hit, and get fumbled. I can throw an interception. He can catch the ball and get hit. And he can fumble. So many possibilities for mistakes. So the run game narrows that gate. And when you get a great run game, you narrow the gate of turnovers. You narrow the gate of mistakes. And you hold on to the ball and keep the ball from your opponent, no matter who you're playing, especially when you're playing a guy like Tom Brady. You saw what they did last week to Tom Brady and the great Patriots just by running the football. In this passing league, the most important asset you can have, really, is a run game. And Philly now has one, kind of like what they had a couple of years ago with LeGarrette Blount when you guys were doing some real running to the Super Bowl. But they haven't had that for a while, and it looks like now Jordan Howard and those guys are trying to get back to it.
Can Eagles win one of the next two games, Michael? Patriots at Lincoln Financial Field, Seahawks at Lincoln Financial Field. They have a bye this week, the Eagles do. Can they win one of the next two games?
Oh, they can win one of them. It'll be hard to win them both. It'll be hard to win them both. But now, honestly, you know, when I remove my head and just look at my old body, because right now I'm talking out of my head, but my heart's, oh, my God. I hate to say it, but they can actually win both. If Philly plays their best game and they are able to run the football and play their best game, yes, they can win both. But the reality is they can lose both also, you know. And I've seen Philly play some of their best ball when their backs are against the wall. Philly and Dallas, the same way. It gets right up under my skin to have teams that whenever their back's against the wall, they come out fighting. When I did that game in Green Bay, Philly's back was against the wall.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They had to have that game. Mm-hmm. They had to have that game, and they went in and got it. When Dallas played Philly, Dallas' back was against the wall. They had to have that game and went in and got it. Why can't you do that every week? Why must you have a nail in your hands and your back staple on the wall to have to come out fighting like that? You got to get to a place where you have that kind of fight week in and week out. Then you'll get a chance to fight for a Super Bowl.
All right.
December 22nd, Cowboys come to town. What are you thinking? Will that game be meaningful? And who's going to win this division?
Man, that's going to be a division turner. And that's the game. Neither one of these teams are running away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of what I just told you. Philly, watch these men. Watch after they take this bye. Watch how they play those next 2 weeks. Because those are mean. Those are back against the wall games. Watch how they play. I saw Dallas playing against Philly, but then I also saw what they did against New York. And I also saw how they started against the Giants the other day. I'm like, are you joking? Until that damn black cat came out? Are you serious? This thing was, they got all the talent to do it, but it seems like they got to get pressure to do it. So right now, they'll be in a pressure situation these next few weeks, and they'll have to turn a corner and make things happen. So you should see the best team they have these next 2 weeks.
All right, there he is, Michael Irvin, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Michael, we will talk to you around that Dallas game, and hopefully it means the division, and we can talk further.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping. I'm hoping Dallas is far up enough that it's just another game, but I understand what you mean. Make sure y'all call me so we can discuss and rehearse the exactly over what we just talked about here today. And we'll be saying, boy, you hit the nail on the head. Every game that they back against the wall, they play. You know what I mean? With desperation hit. And if both of those teams are in a desperate place, we'll have a great game.
That'll be a hell of a game. Michael, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Q.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks.
There he is, the playmaker. He's brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. We'll come back. We got phone calls, 888-729-9494. Marks and Reese. He's absolutely right. The Cowboys need to be, the Cowboys, when they're with their backs against the wall, That's where they're at their best.
Yeah.
Same with the Eagles.
They both, yeah. Well, I mean, that game probably don't matter.
It's going to matter. 888-729-9494. Don't go anywhere. Marks and Reese on 94WIP. Let's talk about Bradford Whitewater here just for a second. A great American company.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.